Welcome to The Art of Construction, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your business. Together, we'll explore the world of construction with some of the best minds of the industry. Your host, Devin Tilley, a micro-influencer and sometimes disruptor, will take you on a journey that will lead your business to the next level.
What's up, Art of Construction Tribe? Devin Tilley here, and I am so excited to go into a journey of one of my biggest passions in all of the art of construction: sales-driven process marketing. And I'm super excited for today's conversation, where we get so many awesome followers reaching us on the message board, but we get to have Jeannie Ringkob, who's a fan of the show. But why we get to have the pleasure and have this conversation is because her talking tracks are very aligned with what we're doing here on The Art of Construction. And the main message that I want to convey to you that is that the art of construction and the businesses we are building are vital. Tribe, you are what makes construction work. It's messy. It's hard, but it's us that fight every day to make it better, right? And it's critical to create jobs and building the infrastructure and spur amazing innovations. That's you, Tribe. And we owe it to our people, our communities, and our families in the future to build great businesses. And quite frankly, most of us, and I raise my hand, most owners struggle with taking on projects that don't ultimately grow their business, right? And beginning with the end in mind, that's what we're going to talk with Jeannie about. We need to take time to identify the highest priority task with the biggest potential for growth and make that our focus mission. This allows the art of construction to get maximum return for being the best at what we do. And so how's this going to benefit you? AOC, let's get inspired to take time to focus on discovering the most vital bottleneck in your business and the best fit opportunity in your market. Then build a plan to leverage that knowledge. And that's what I'm super excited about. Not just talking about marketing, but let's talk about process and a plan around that. And then build this into our business as an ongoing growth strategy. And she talks about the flywheel. Like, I've talked a bunch about the customer care wheel, and I'm excited to have that conversation. And this is part of your operation that accelerates your growth, attracts the top talent, and increases profit and build healthier legacy businesses that can make bigger impacts. So my perspective, Tribe, you know me, I love storytelling marketing, right? And so how does this knowing your story drive business growth? And what I want to challenge Jeannie about is that, are we focusing too much on the story and not enough on the process? Well, that's what Jeannie's all about. And her platform is called Story Built. So without further ado, let's get into know Jeannie and her story, the letter to founding and crushing it with Story Built. What's your favorite beverage?
Oh, I like a good microbrew. So I'm always on the hunt for a seasonal microbrew. This is fall, so this is the perfect time, right?
This is the season, right? As we're the Oktoberfest. Last year I did Sober October, and this year I just said, I'm not doing it. I'm just going to only have like the specialty ones, because the October beers are just such fun. They do such fun stuff with it, right?
Oh yeah. I always this time of year crave like a really great peach, seasonal or something like that, especially towards the end of the summer, moving into fall. So totally. I always enjoy that.
Love it. What's a favorite place you've traveled?
I've been fortunate to go a lot of really great places. But the trip that my husband took me on for our honeymoon to Italy was incredible. We actually went out in Tuscany in the countryside and did a cooking class and a wine tasting. And it was really incredible to be there with local people and kind of have like that experience that felt really real and authentic.
Awesome. And we're going to talk about breaking down the silos in the art of construction that we passionately call the art of construction. What do you like to do outside of that, Jeannie?
So I actually grew up showing horses competitively, and then we get busy in life. We start chasing careers. I'm chasing kids now, but my kids have recently started riding. Mm. And so it's been really fun to get back into the saddle, if you will, and kind of do that with them. So I'm kind of reconnecting with that old passion.
Awesome. Good on you. Well, what is your story that led you to founding Story Built Growth Strategy and Marketing?
Oh, it's a story. So I actually grew up in the industry, and I like to joke with people that it's once you're in it and you find a little niche in it, I think there's something about people that work with their hands and build stuff and are part of infrastructure and those essential industries that is so just pure and real. So I'm the third generation road construction family. So I grew up in the asphalt industry. And I remember asking my dad one time when I was about 8-10 years old, we were driving between Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Grants, New Mexico to visit a client. And I said, why do we do what we do? We could do a million things, Dad. And this is sweaty, it's hard, it's dirty, like the hours are long, you know, it's not easy, it's seasonal, all the things that we know, right? And he said to me something I will never forget. He said, you know, see those people driving up and down the road. I get to be part of building the backbone of our economy. I am one person. I am just a small business, but I get to take part in that. I get goods to the stores. I get people to their jobs. I get the military to different locations. All of these things work because I contribute to it. And it completely changed how I thought about not just what we did, but really the world. And I wouldn't say that I knew exactly how I was going to fit into that at the time. I've worked all over in the industry, worked for my family's business, Koch Industries, Vance Brothers, another really great company. Then I also did a stint in agriculture. My husband and I built an agricultural commodities trading business. And there's a lot of the same players in both of those industries. So I kind of circled back around to this. And instead of pursuing the family business, I had all these, you know, different paths and things I went down, and where I landed was I like working with a variety of people, and I love that struggling, hardy business owner, risk taker, and entrepreneur. And so that is primarily how I found my spot and how I could really fit, is I can help more people be part of that, building that backbone and help them do it better, because it's the hardest job.
I absolutely love that story, and I can feel that passion, right? Thank you for sharing that and like getting yourself into someone else's shoes and then living it, right? And so I'm curious, what were some of your main takeaways about construction businesses as you grew up in the industry?
So I feel like I was really lucky. One of the things that my dad was great about was building a lot of relationships and partnerships. And I think watching him, I kind of had it modeled for me how important the relationships are and the people. And then also what came from those partnerships is I ended up having a lot of mentors that, you know, taught me about selling, presenting, even the technical side. Since I was in the road construction business, you know, distresses of pavements, I got to spend time in labs. And it was because of those partnerships and those relationships that I also benefited. So I got that modeled for me. And I also had access to a lot of mentors because he was modeling that for me. So I think it's helped me understand that it's still all about the people and the relationships.
Totally agree. So can you talk about your ideal client? And Gina, I'm going to kind of put you on the spot here, because we both have went down that path, right? Of really understanding, as we're launching the Art of Construction Master Facilitators, like, where do we all fit into this thing? And so what kind of clients do you work with at StoryBuilt?
So for me, it's those key stakeholders, which are traditionally the owners or the high-level executives in a small to medium-sized construction business, a business that is growing, they've had success, but maybe they know they're not reaching that full potential, they haven't hit that momentum. So, and if you think about it, it's like a bell curve, like an arc. You know, you have your ideal, perfect customer, and I have customers that come to me on both sides of that, but that's really the sweet spot that I'm targeting, is that business owner that's got a lot of skin in the game. They're still juggling a lot of balls in the air, and they know they need that extra help to really get the momentum and get unstuck.
I absolutely love that. And so the next conversation I want to talk about, on the lead in, I was talking about kind of process, strategy, and marketing. And you kind of have to have that stuff, in my opinion, and you've done a great job on your website articulating that you kind of need to look at all that stuff together. So I'm really curious, how do you know when a client needs marketing and brand help versus growth and strategy help? And how are the two related from your perspective?
Okay. So my marketing friends probably hate it when I say this, but I have to say it because it's the truth. I have seen and believed that marketing and sometimes our sales activities are sometimes the biggest waste of resources in our businesses. You can spend an incredible amount of time and energy and money really pursuing these things and looking at what the people around you are doing and just trying to mimic them, looking what other industries are doing. And while those are great ideas, it's great to borrow from things. It's great to learn from other experiences and do what's worked before you. It's not a strategy. So for me, it's all about how do we actually understand qualitative and quantitatively the hurdles that are really facing you and the opportunities. And for me, there's areas that we have to look. We have to look at our internal strengths and weaknesses. We have to look at our customers, their needs, the problems that they're trying to solve. We have to look at our business partners, specifically in a construction industry, because it's all interrelated. And what our partners need is almost as critical as what our customers need and the problems that we're solving, because they have problems too. That's why they're our partners. And then also what's going on in the marketplace. And then also our competition. What is our competition doing? So we have to actually find data points in all of those areas. And that's what should drive any spending or time or resources that go into marketing and sales and brand positioning. So when you ask me about marketing and brand versus strategy, I think you have to start with strategy. It all has to start with strategy, and marketing and brand is the execution on the backside. So I would say brand strategy is how we are perceived in the hearts and the minds of our customers, our partners, our competition, and the market that we exist in. But we got to be intentional about that, and we have to identify the roads that we want to take, the opportunities or the hurdles that are bottlenecking our business. And then how we overcome those and the strategies and executions we put into place, that is the marketing, that is the execution piece.
Absolute gold, right? And I went deep into many coaching, like one of them was the EOS, where they talk about their vision traction organizer. And they do a great job of just mapping out like how you're going to grow and create this strategy. And then you align your marketing efforts to that.
Right.
And we're always talking about in our team is what is our internal processes? And we need to match those up to our external promise. And to be able to do that, you have to go get the right amount of help. And you have to understand to be able to look yourself in the mirror as a company, right? Mm-hmm. Is it good for you as a company? Is it good for your customers? And most importantly, is it good for the internal process or people that make the whole thing happen? Who right. and then what, right? So I love that you go out there, because this is the part where I think marketers get a really bad rap. If you're just out there to try to get impressions and get your monthly fee to show, here's how much I grew and here's all the, you show a graph without content of actual strategy and having a team behind that, don't even show right. the graph. It doesn't matter. No one's going to look at it, right? It doesn't right. mean anything. If you're just trying to show impressions and a bar chart of how much you did to grow this. And that drives me crazy with marketers. And I really appreciate you bringing that up.
Yeah, so important.
So the other part of, I dare you to compare and kind of talk through, I was super excited for this part of the conversation of give credit to our executive director of the Art of Construction, Matt McMullen. When he came in, he's like, Devin, we really got to map out the cradle to cradle, the continuum of care that we're showcasing and strategizing on the Art of Construction podcast, and then in our business strategies around that. And we came up with, you know, cradle to cradle, continuum of care, the flywheel is the concept, the marketing funnel that's dead, all these different things. So we came up with the customer care wheel. That is this wheel that we're just wheeling together every day on. And we've created multiple of those. We've made one for the Art of Construction and then a niche in like our window and door company. So I'm really curious for you to tell us about your flywheel concept. And then if you can go, and then how you go over that with your clients and what that's all about.
Absolutely. So, I mean, I know when we're talking about marketing, funnels come up a lot, and it's a great visual aid. But I always, what I don't like about it is it's kind of got an entry point and an exit point, and it feels like it's not a continuous loop. But to really, and like I said, I'm always concerned about for my clients, are you getting something for all the effort you're putting in? If you're going to spend money, if you're going to spend time, you know, how do we make sure that we leverage that? And so we want loops. We want feedback loops from our customers. We want to talk about customer touch points. We want to talk about their experiences at all the different places. So when I was looking at my own business and I was working with clients, I had to also think about that and think about what are the touch points that make this cyclical and can make this something that they can do in their business that's highly leveraged versus just doing it once. So for me, and I mean, there's nothing better than a good flywheel, right? So for me, this is what it looks like. There's kind of four pieces to this flywheel as we imagine it. And this, first off, we start by investigation. We have to investigate, what are the hurdles facing our business? How is our business currently perceived in the marketplace? What do our customers really need? What are the problems that they have? What are some of the problems maybe they have that we're not addressing or that we could be addressing better? So all that stuff, we have to investigate and gather data. And we have to have those data points. We have to actually have knowledge and awareness. And this is the part that we tend to skip over because it's not very exciting. It's not very glamorous. Then once we look at all that, the next step in the flywheel for me and for my clients is identifying, because you'll have all these options. And as business owners, we know we always have 100 roads we can go down. So which one is it? Which squirrel do we need to chase? So we have to identify, and we have to have methods and models to help us filter that out. And I always think about, there's like a litmus test that I use. If we're going to pick a strategy to pursue, these are some of the things that help us identify, which identifies that second piece of my flywheel, is differentiation. Does it separate you from your competition? So it's highly relevant to your competition on that level. And then relevance, is it still relevant to your customers? We can't get away from that relevance piece. And then lastly, sustainability. Can we uniquely position you to sustain that and have an advantage in the marketplace and position you so you are elevating the brand and the value of your business and the future of your business? The third piece is design. And that's where we start to get into the execution. Now we're going to design. How are we going to roll this out? And I am a lot like you. I think processes are important. So when I get into this piece, I'm always thinking about, and I'm a big EOS fan as well, I'm always thinking about, how do we design whatever we're going to execute so that you can repeat it and turn it into processes in your business? Who's going to own that? How are they going to measure it? What are the most critical pieces? How do we make it simple and easy and automated? How do we do that in your business so it doesn't become cumbersome in your business and you can continue to get leverage from whatever we're doing? And then implement has a lot to do, which that's the last step in the flywheel, is implement, is we have to make sure that somebody owns it and we're measuring it and we're nurturing it. So what I'm looking for there is, what are the important piece things that we're going to measure about what we're designed and we're implementing in our business? And then how are we going to, because things are going to change. We have to know when we need to adjust those metrics or adjust the strategy. The great thing about this is, once you have that, you've built processes into your business, you've measured it, so you've tweaked it, and you know you're getting incredible results, then you go back to the beginning and you say, all right, now what's the bottleneck? What's the next opportunity? And it becomes something that you can, on a regular basis, feel like you can confidently know year after year, I can grow my business and I'm never worried about it failing or it stalling out, because I know I can redo this in my business all the time, and we're always leveling up and we're getting better at it each time.
All right, let's get into some of the specifics. This is the part where we really showcase, and I'm really excited for you to talk through some of the case studies or some success stories that you've seen with your clients with adopting this platform.
Right. So I think this is fun. And this is part of what's really fun about where I landed. And I know a lot of people are like, why didn't you just stay on the contractor side? Why didn't you just keep that business? This is exciting for me because I get to see so many things. Every single situation is different. And even if I'm working with clients year after year, every single time we go through this process again, it's new. And there's something, their markets changed, their products have changed, the opportunities have changed, and we've overcome something. So we're leveling up every time. So I think about examples. One example is, I had a client that we'd known each other for a really long time. We talked about doing stuff for a long time. He wanted to grow his business, but he had in his mind that it had to be, he was in the road industry. It was a seasonal business. And he had this, like, just in his head, that, like, it has to be, I have to start a new business that works in the winter. And once we went through this process, what he realized is there was so much opportunity by going, you know, deeper. And so he actually went down his supply chain and ended up buying a business that was a supplier that they needed an opportunity. They were looking for an exit strategy. It was a really great fit. And the value that he saw out of that was so much better. But also when he thinks about how that really kept his brand pure, it positioned him, it highly leveraged him. It helped him use his workforce better. So there were all these advantages. So instead of reinventing a new business, you know, we found a better path forward. And it was something that he was just really blocked and he couldn't see that there was a different path than the one he just assumed was where he needed to go. Another example that we came up with recently is we were in that investigation stage and doing lots of research for a client of mine that's incredibly successful. They have a great business, but it was amazing. I'm doing these research interviews and some surveys to collect these data points. And in these interviews, people are telling me, I love them. They are so really, I mean, they're great. I just don't know exactly what they do, which is like earth shattering, but it actually happens a lot more often than people think, is even when people have worked with us, they don't know exactly how to re-communicate what it is we do, especially if we're trying to be different and unique and come to market in a different way. And it's a lot about that's when you, yes, the solution is messaging and marketing and how do we communicate that and position ourselves. But if we can take it from, so in this case, it was taking a customer, a new customer, 18 months of conversations to actually understand that, oh, this is what you do. This is how you can solve a problem for me. And then they were blown away and they're like, oh, this is so amazing. And it's so easy. But I'm like, hey, this can't take 18 months. We have to be able to articulate this and really shorten that down to just a few conversations or even one short conversation if possible. So we've been developing messaging and we've been testing that on even videos and stuff like that. And it is incredible. They've had actually two huge national account opportunities come up just in the last 2 weeks that they've been able to progress within just weeks versus 18 months.
Love it. Yeah. Time is money, right? We got to manage all that stuff together and figure that out. With all the labor conversations, I'm curious your take. Do you think better marketing is the best way to solve the labor shortage in construction?
I think it's definitely an underutilized tool. I think it's something that people don't really think of when we think about our labor shortage, but this is how I like to think about it. There's a really great framework that I look at and I reference a lot, especially when you're trying to figure out, you know, we have all these things that we could pursue, but which one do we start with? And if you think about business as a business hierarchy of needs, and Mike Michalowicz came up with this concept, at the bottom is sales and marketing. And we don't always realize we're always out selling, right? We want to sell more. Like I had a client that said to me recently, I just turned down a $6 million project because I don't think I can hire another crew. And that to me is that's still a sales problem because you have plenty of sales. As a matter of fact, your sales team is overselling you. They're oversubscribing your business. But you can't execute. And that's a performance problem. And when you think about it, that's a brand problem and that's a reputation problem. Like that's a critical problem. So we needed to overcome that. And that was the priority. But what we don't realize is, and I like to think about, so actually just did a big project with Texas Asphalt Pavement Association, and we did a workforce development campaign. They're doing some really exciting stuff there. And we applied a lot of this to how do they elevate and position asphalt as a brand and an industry that we can attract people into. And same thing, we did tons of research because first off, we had to know what positions did their members need? What are their biggest pain points? And that was, you know, there were things that were going on there that they didn't realize were going on. And that dictated who do we target? Where do we target? What do we say to them? But it's really important to understand, and I think everybody in our industry should understand this. We had the baby boomers that came out and we had this huge, they completely changed everything about our whole industry and our whole world, really. We had 75 million baby boomers. They changed the diaper industry, the automobile industry, motorhomes, and they changed them because they were purchasers and influencing that, but they were also working in those industries. And then when Generation came up, or Generation X came up, we had a 6 million person gap. And we also had a huge push for four-year college degrees, which we had never really had before. Like everybody felt like all of a sudden that's what they had to go do. So we had a crisis that was looming. We had this huge gap in workforce, but we all, you know, basically got to, I call it the cover up of the Great Recession around 2007, 2008. It covered it up basically, right? So we had this crisis coming, but then we had another crisis and it distracted from that one. And it gave us this false hope because baby boomers stayed in the market working, demand decreased. And so it kind of like, we kind of got this false security, even though it was a really tough time, we kind of ignored that other looming crisis. And now we're really dealing with that. And about 2015 is when we really should have been really getting serious about addressing these gaps in our workforce. But I think there's actually a bright side to this. The millennial generation has 75 million, which means we have more than the baby boomers. The average age right now is 35. That means they are 10 years from their prime leadership age. And I think that employees and industries that choose and take a proactive approach to partnering with the new workforce, understanding their needs, positioning their brands and their businesses to really be where they want to go and where they want to create value, those are the businesses that are never going to have to worry about workforce again. On the other side of that, the ones that get behind this curve are going to suffer tremendously. So I think it's an underutilized tool, and it's something that a lot of people should be putting some of that money and resource and time and energy into.
Great stuff. And you know, people is what make this whole thing work, right? And it's who and what and putting that all together. What would you take, what would you say should the ultimate message be from a construction business to potential clients in the market?
I think the ultimate message should be geared towards inviting them to, so there's two approaches to this. There's short-term and long-term. Short-term, we have to make sure that they know we understand their problems. What is the immediate problem that they're trying to solve? But then also more long-term, invite them to go on a long story with us. Understand their basic problem, but then understand, you know, how does that problem really affect all the other parts of their lives? What if start peeling back like an onion, how that problem is affecting them, and make sure that your story aligns with your customer's story. And let that story get nurtured a lot. And if you go back to my litmus test questions, it has to do with, is it different enough that it's going to attract that customer to you away from your competition? Is it still super relevant to their problems? And is it unique and sustainable?
Outstanding. So before we close this up, tell us about how people can work with you and your growth strategy assessment, what that's all about.
So usually when I work with people, and I have a lot of people come to me and say, hey, I want a new website, or I want something like that. And for me, and you can probably tell after listening to me, I just don't go down that path. Like, unless you can really show me that you already have done the work and you know, and you have a clear direction and a strategy in place, that's where we got to start. So when people usually come to me, that's where we're starting. We're working on that strategy and we're going into that flywheel at the identification stage. So the first step is getting on a call with me and really sorting through, do you understand the hurdles in front of you? Do you understand the opportunities in front of your business? And what is it going to take for you to get a lot of clarity on that so that you can really be a good steward of your resources, your time, and you can also have the bandwidth to stay focused on running your business? And then I also have a really great tool actually on my website. It's an assessment tool where you can kind of break down what part of your business, and it doesn't give you the specific bottleneck in your business, but it'll tell you what part of your business is that bottleneck likely residing in. So if you're not really sure, or you have multiple things that you feel are tugging at you right now that you should be chasing, that's a great tool to really narrow in your focus and get a clear idea on where you want to be looking for that bottleneck and trying to focus on growing.
good on you. Seriously. Like if you know where to say no and where you say yes and say where you're really starting to where I can actually put meaningful change into your business. Let's find the biggest pain and fix it, but not just find one silo and run after a silo because you're just going to squirrel all over the place. Like you have to get the foundation. All good projects start with a good foundation and then it just multiplies from that. That's what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah. So that's a great assessment tool. And within a few minutes, you can get really eliminate a whole bunch of those rabbit holes that you're trying to run down and start taking that first step towards getting really focused on what's going to make the biggest impact on growing your business.
Awesome. Well, as we close this thing out, the question we always ask, I'm curious, what is your crystal ball for blending the future with technology in construction?
So I think it's exciting. I'm a little bit, I like in my household, my husband always says if it's techie, my wife's got to do it. So I like that stuff. I'm an early adopter for all things Apple. They're actually a company I love to study their strategy because I kind of like to geek out on that stuff. But I think if I go back to my roots also, what I'm really excited about is the intersection of all this technology and then people in the business. And I love the intersection of where we see, and I, what I'm seeing right now is I think as technology is increasing and improving, we look at equipment. When I think about the ag industry, I mean, the combines out there right now, I mean, they're running off satellite. You almost don't need to be in them. And I think about what that's going to look like on construction sites and stuff like that, but also thinking about the intersection of that. And what I love that I'm seeing in the industry right now is I see as technology is increasing, I'm also seeing that people's engagement is also increasing. The intellectual stimulus in people is increasing. And I see people really trying new things and branching out in our industry. So I'm really excited about how technology is opening up the bandwidth for people to really apply our, you know, just the people factor to everything. And I think that's super exciting.
Love it. And what is that one thing you want to leave our contractors and affiliates to think about to go out there and crush it and grow their business?
So I really want them to think about what is that one thing, finding that one thing, coming up with a strategy to execute and measure and get success and progress with that. And the first step, go use that tool. It's out there. It's free for you. It's at storybuilt.marketing/assessment. And in a few minutes, you can take that assessment. I think if we can clear out all the fog, because we have so many things on a daily basis we need to be doing and we have to keep running our businesses, our people need us. If on that high level, we can identify that one thing that's going to get us a big boost in momentum, it's a huge, I mean, it's just amazing how it can make you feel and how exciting and re-energized it can make your business.
Jeannie, thank you so much for coming and sharing your story. We'll make sure we put links to the assessment and all the stuff on the show notes for us to go out there and find those one things and work together to all build our business in a better way.
Absolutely. I would love it. And then connect with me on LinkedIn. Tell me what your one thing is. I want to hear.
All right. We'll make sure we all reach out to you on LinkedIn and check out the assessment. Thanks again, Jeannie.
Thank you.
So much gold there and a lot of stuff that, man, she is speaking my language. Because the thing we all are talking about and all trying to figure out is that you have to look inward to move outward and build repeatable processes. That's what all this stuff is about, right? And so the flywheel concept that the AOC Master Facilitators are using as the customer care wheel and all working together for these silos and this messy stuff to put it together, because we have to match up the right amount of time that yields the right results, right? And the time and money thing we're always talking about, right? And one of the big things that I wrote down that I really want to talk about is that I question you and I question myself to really think about this. And I'm going to take this to my leadership team and say, is sales and marketing at the top or the bottom? Because I've always said nothing happens till you sell something, but make sure what you're selling, you can begin with the end in mind. Because a lot of times in construction, she talked about that with the case study, a lot of times it ends up being a performance problem. And where is the problem lie in performance? And so, you know, as I love bringing in other AOC master facilitators, and I raise my hand and say, you got to go out and get help of what you think you're the quote unquote best at, right? And her perspectives are outstanding when it comes to really understanding your talking tracks. And you have to figure out where she talks about every day, and this will never change. When she said the one thing, it's spot on. We all have to figure out what is that intersection of technology and people. And so I leave you with this, Tribe. I loved her story at the beginning, and I'm going to recap the story at the end. Her one thing started with her dad, her mentor, that she didn't quite get it. And I can just see her driving down the road with her dad and understanding, wow. And she, I don't remember the town she said. We can look and listen back to that in the podcast, but going from A to B and just confused of why, Dad? Why are we doing this? Because his one thing she thought was asphalt, but his one thing was moving the world. And so you think about that stuff to say what it is that you niche in, asphalt, windows, plumbing, whatever it is. Tribe, we're all in this as AOC Master Facilitators to move the world to build better buildings. Crush it out there, Tribe.